night I lay in bed. At night I lay in bed and I begin to cry. And my mind just fails to know exactly why. Oh, thank you, Lord. I can't explain with tongue or pen the Spirit's groanings deep within. It must be God here in my soul, 'cause I feel the pull.
Aren't you thankful for that pull?
I feel the pull. I hear the call. I know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me. I feel the pull.
I went to hear the word.
I went to hear the word. And with each line and phrase, He was drawing me to live a higher plane.
Oh, there's a deep.
Oh, there's a deep call to the deep, like a great magnet pulling me. I know for sure that I'll reach that goal, 'cause I feel the pull.
Oh, sing it to Him now.
I feel the pull. I hear the call. Know His Spirit's moving me to give my all. He speaks to me. I feel the pull.
As Brother Aaron gets ready to come, let's sing that again.
I feel the pull. I hear the call. Know His Spirit's moving me to give my all.
Yes,
and I agree. Oh Lord, please come and take control. I feel the pull.
Thank you,
Jesus. I bless y'all. Amen. Amen. Can you hear me now?
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks.
Well, I have a little quick testimony I just want to share. I always remember Lily's birthday because Lily's birthday is the day that I had my elbow surgery. Tomorrow will be 4 years since I had my surgery, and thank the Lord every day for it.
Amen.
And,
thank you.
My surgeon, Dr. Davis, he said, I like to think that I'm good, but he said we had divine intervention. So I thank the Lord for doctors that give praise to God and, you know, that they believe in divine healing. 'Cause that was one of the questions I asked him when we were in consultation. I said, do you believe in divine healing? He said, yes, I do.
Amen.
He said, because we can only do so much. He said, but God has to do the rest.
Amen.
And so thank the Lord for that every day. You know, you wake up one day and you can't touch your head. You can't do anything. You can't move your arm. But you know what? I spent a lot of time on roofs, you know, working on air conditioners, and I spent a lot of time up there. And I just get along and told them, I said, sometimes y'all wouldn't believe it, but you can be on a high roof somewhere and there's grasshoppers up there. It's just me and the bugs and the birds. And I sang so many times. I was up there walking and I'd sing, I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. For all my sins, for my healing, my pain. And when I need healing, I just claim those precious blood stains. And I thank the Lord for that. But this is a song that's been on my heart today. And it's called, I Won't Walk Without Jesus. And I Won't Talk Without Jesus. We're going to be in E-flat. And I refuse to live one day as before. Just like with somebody in the Bible study last night, when you see the word, Brother Claude, somebody, when you see your name in the word, you can't be the old person anymore. And as Brother Claude was talking about this morning, when you've sat under the ministry that we've sat under here, and seeing what God's brought to us, you can't give God enough praise. And you know, it's as I was preaching Wednesday night, it's up to us to walk in that word. He's given us that word. He's brought us to that place. If we're in the cleft of the rock, then you know, all the storms of life, no matter what comes and goes, doesn't change anything. I'm sheltered because I know where I'm standing. Used to be when I was sinning, Satan stood off somewhere grinning as the pleasures that he brought, they turned on me. The teardrops came like rain a-falling till I heard my Savior calling, if you can't go on anymore, just lean on me. Now I won't walk without Jesus, and I won't talk without Jesus, and I refuse to live one day as before. And I can go without Jesus, it just ain't so. Without Jesus, 'cause anything that I would do, it just won't do without the Lord. A beggar lame by the gate, he was sitting, and all his life he'd been regretting, 'cause he never stood or even strode down the street. Well, then Peter and John, having by his way, look up on us. Peter did say, and rise up and walk in the name of the Lord. And he leaped to his feet. He cried, I just can't walk without Jesus, and I can't talk without Jesus, and I refuse to live one day as before. And I can't go without Jesus, it just ain't so. Without Jesus, 'cause anything that I would do, it just won't do without the Lord. And I won't walk
Without Jesus and I won't talk. Without Jesus and I refuse to live one day as before. And I won't go. Without Jesus, it just ain't so. Without Jesus, 'cause anything that I would do, it just won't do without the Lord.
What can we do without Jesus? Be happy. There's very little. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thomas, you want to help us take up our offering? Amen.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, please bless Brother Dale, Brother Wayne, and all the deacons and ministers. Lord, please bless the tithes and offerings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Thomas. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Why don't we sing this song, Greater Than All My Sins, key of C. Amen. We serve a mighty God who's greater than anything. Any condemnation that Satan could bring to you, amen. His blood is greater. Amen. As long as it's under the blood, there's no more condemnation.
Greater than all my sin is the blood that still cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me free. To praise Him, I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb. Greater than all my sin is the blood that still cleanses me. It's the grace that still sets me free. To praise Him, I know the blood's applied. I'm walking in newness of life. I cannot fall, for it's greater than all the blood of the Lamb.
Amen. You may be seated. Brother Darty, did you have a special song? I remember you told me last week and I didn't know that you actually had it today, so. You come on because we're ready to hear. We ain't heard from you in a while.
Praise the Lord. I won't never miss the opportunity to thank all you guys for your prayers. And Mary and myself, we really appreciate it and appreciate having a family like we have here. Amen. And I want to sing this song. Came from one day. Soundtracks that Brother Richard sang for me. Says, "Who am I?" And this, okay.
There you go.
When I think of how He came so far from glory, oh wow. I'm going to sing it anyway. When I think of how He came so far from glory, came to dwell among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary, take my place. Then I ask myself this question, who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would say, not my will, but thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he would go. For who am I? When I'm reminded how he said, I'll leave you never, if you'll be true, I'll give to you life forever. I wonder what I could have done to deserve God's only Son. Fight my battles till they were won. For who am I? Who am I that a king would plead and die for? Who am I that he would say, not my will, but thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he ever loved me so, that to an old rugged cross he would go. For who am I? But to an old rugged cross he would go. For who am I?
Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Give the Lord a clap of praise. Amen.
Who am I that the king would bleed and die for?
Who am I
that he would bring my will die, Lord? The answer
good to be here. I'm going to step down here. At my church, I've
got three stairs to go up to a platform, and I cannot stand to look down at a congregation. When there's something about me, I've just got, you know, preachers are full of complexes. That's one of mine. I don't like to look down at the people. I like to get your eyes. You know what I'm saying? I just enjoy being.
I want to thank Brother Samuel. Lord bless you, Brother Samuel. Church been praying for you. Been praying for you, Sister Peggy. I had a stroke 4 years ago. I maybe not to the degree that Brother Samuel had, but nonetheless, I had a stroke. I come back from it. My wife, I think I'm 100% back. My wife tells me I'm different, but she's never told me if it's a good different or a bad different. So I don't know what she's saying, but she said you're different. Now she knows I get a little temperamental. I'm real short. with her sometimes, and that's what the stroke has caused for me. Now, we're going to continue to pray for Brother Samuel until I hear a good report from Brother Dale. It's just the way it is. Is that right? So pray for those, especially in the household of faith. The fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So don't just pray, now I lay me down to sleep. A fervent prayer availeth much. You pray fervently. Would you do that? That's what we want. That's what you'd want him to do for you. You do that for him. You do that for me. And we're workers together, and we're going to come out on top of this thing, okay? So we're going to start here. I talked about the seals, and now I'm going to talk about the trumpets. Let's go ahead and just start out. Let's reread Matthew 24:29. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Everything's been shaken in this hour. Anything that can be shaken will be shaken. If you're not built on a foundation, if you're not built on faith, you will come crumbling down. If you're built on sand, you'll fall. But if you're built on a revelation of God, there's no such prevailing power as a revelation from God. You're building your living tabernacle will stand. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be one of them that's standing at the end. Okay? So appreciate the musicians. I love it. My great-grandfather was a violin player. He played at the Life Tabernacle in Shreveport.
Amen.
Yeah. Old grandpa was an old violin player, old fiddle player, we call it in Louisiana. That's where I was born.
Amen.
So appreciate you sisters that played the fiddle. Appreciate that fiddle. Is that, what was that you played? That, was that a,
recorder.
Really? I don't know what it was, but man, it was pretty. That's what brought me out. I thought, man, what is that? That's just, that, I love that. So anyway, my grandpa was a fiddle player, and was it Life Tabernacle? My mother went to all the tent meetings in the 50s. I got to go to Brother Branham's meetings when I was two. Don't remember a thing. But my mom got to see the pillar of fire. My mom is the one that brought the message of the hour to Bartlesville Tabernacle. She seen the pillar of fire. She told Brother Jess, my old pastor, said, and I asked her, I said, Mom, what do you remember about Brother Branham, the pillar of fire? She said, no, his humility. And remember the Bible said there was, that Moses was the most humble man in all the earth. Bible commented on that. My mama said, my mom kept them books in a chest up in her attic for years after the 50s. And in the late 60s, she presented them to Brother Jess, my pastor, said, you gotta hear this guy. You gotta hear him. Isn't that something? How God works? She gave her testimony of the pillar of fire. Brother Jess come to the message hour, started baptizing in the name of Jesus Christ. They threw him out of the Pentecostal church.
Hallelujah.
Brother Ram said, you tell them the truth, they'll throw you out. They did it. That's what they did. So my mom got to see that. My mom passed away 3 years ago. Just a saintly woman, a real sheep, I'll tell you that. Not because she's my mother, but I was her pastor, not just her son. So it's a wonderful time. So thank you, musicians, for that. It just really stirred me up. I had to come out and hear it. I couldn't sit back there. I just had to be a part of that. So you guys here, I want you to know I've got an organ player, a piano player, and a bass player. That's all I got. My song leader passed away in November, and I'm been leading songs, which I don't like to do. I'm not a song leader. I'm a pastor. But you got, sometimes when you're a pastor, you got to do it all practically. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't know how blessed you are to have these musicians, to have the fivefold ministry you got here, the Brother Louis, the Brother Bobs, the Brother Aarons, and if I left somebody out, you forgive me. But all this ministry that you've got here, I'm telling you people, you are sitting in heavenly places. You're now sitting in heavenly places. You have a lot to be thankful for here. Okay? Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that was read. We thank you for the wonderful music. Lord, it just set the tempo for this service for me. Now I pray that you'll bless this people, Lord. Give them courage, encouragement in the days ahead. May they, I believe they're the ones that's going to endure this thing all the way to the end. Every devil in hell has been loosed at this bride. But there ain't a devil in hell going to stop me. I'm going to come into the stature of a perfect man, and I'm going to leave here one morning. When I see the dead in Christ rise first, some of those people have gone from my church, and then I'm going to be changed in a moment of twinkling, and we're going to meet you in the air, and forever I'm going to be with you. And that's what the bride's looking for. Is the only thing we're looking for is the rapture. The only thing. Now be with us as we go through this little teaching. Quicken it to the people. In Jesus Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Lord bless you. Let's go to Matthew 24:30. You can be seated, by the way. Unless you want to stand. I'm going to be standing. So if you want to, you ain't going to bother me. If you want to shout, just do it real, wait until after. You do that. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. History. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. If you go look at the quotes Brother Branham said in 62, after those stars aligned up, which was the appearing. Does everybody see that's appear, not coming?
All right, man.
That's different. There was an appearing of the Son of Man.
Right, yeah.
Everybody got that?
Yeah.
Then it says there's a mourning of the all the tribes of the earth. He said Germany almost was swept away by water. He said Great Britain was almost swept by water. California, remember when all the houses were going into the ocean? And the, now the rains in California? You got the mudslides in the spring. You got the fires now. Is that right?
Amen.
Don't tell me judgment hasn't struck.
Amen.
Judgment's here, people. It's falling all around us. Okay? We need to wake up to this. Okay? So we see the son of, you see the, all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they, who's they? Who's they? Is they, that's people. They, that's me and you, by the way, shall see the Son of Man coming in clouds of heaven with power and great glory. We've already seen that. That's that cloud that came down in 1963. Is that right? Before the seals were open.
Right?
Remember that happened before the seals were open. That came down and told him, you go to back to Jeffersonville and I'll meet you there and we're going to deal with them seals. We're going to loose them seals. Is that right? So we understand that. So that's what come. Now, Brother Branham, as you go my previous notes, 29 and 30, Brother Branham said that's the sixth seal. I didn't say that. You go read it on the notes. It says the sixth seal. Brother Branham identifies it. Then he goes, here's the next one that falls right after. And he shall send. Everybody see what and is? Is and a continuation in the English language? So he says this is the sixth seal and it says and. Everybody got what I'm saying? And he shall send his angels, two of them. Who's that? Moses and Elijah to Israel. Brother Branham said it. You can go look at the quote. With a great sound of a trumpet, Brother Branham said the great sound of the trumpet was the voice of God.
Amen.
Just like the thunder. Remember one thunder when the first seal was opened? Brother Branham said that was the voice of God.
Amen.
Is that what he said? Same thing here. And they shall gather together his, they, who?
Mm-hmm.
These guys right here.
Yep.
They shall gather together, together, his elect. Who's his elect? We're going to read it in a minute.
Right.
From the four winds. That's the east, the west, the north, the south.
That's right.
From one end of heaven to the other.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Okay. So this is a continue, this is a continuation of that.
Amen. That's right.
And. Everybody okay with that?
Yep. Right.
Now next, go up. Let's go. Between the sixth and seventh seal. You go read this. There's all over the, there's several of them. I'm going to read them. And this is going to astound you when you see it. When God revealed this to me, it just blew me away. I mean, it really did.
Amen.
Now it was the martyrs in the tribulation, the pre-tribulation of Eichmann. Right?
Yeah.
Remember, no, we'll get to it. Now, they only type the martyrs of the 100 type. Remember, amateur tribulation, he said, they type. It's a shadow of what's going to come in the tribulation period. It's going to be full blown then.
Right.
Everybody got that?
Amen.
The whole nature's going to mess up.
Yep.
The third part of the sea is going to be turned to blood.
Amen.
Right? Oh, there's going to be some things happen that you don't want to be here when that happens.
Right.
So he says here, pre-tribulation, now only type of martyrs, the 144,000, which we're entering into between the sixth and seventh seal.
Amen. That's
right. In between. Does everybody understand what in between is?
Right. Yeah.
You are in between her and her.
Right.
If that was the sixth seal and that's the seventh seal, you're between them.
Right.
You know where we're at? Between the sixth and seventh seal.
Right.
And you say, well, I thought the seventh seal was the coming of the Lord. It's more than that. Brother Bram said it has three things to it. The coming of the Lord, it's in an unknown tongue, and it's the end of all things.
Amen.
So we're between the sixth and the seventh seal. See, when the brother Louis, when you were talking, he said, where are we at? There's where we're at.
It,
we're there. I mean, you know, a lot of these things we think we're looking to happen have already happened.
Amen.
Brother Ram said, I'm afraid we're looking for something to happen when it's already happened.
Amen.
We don't realize, you know, recognizing your day and its message.
Amen.
That's the problem with most people in the message. They don't recognize Daniel's 70 weeks. You don't recognize Daniel's 70 weeks. You can't get them seals. You can't get them trumpets. You can't get them woes.
Right.
Need I go on, Brother Wade?
Right.
How much are we going to get if we don't get Daniel? My old pastor, you know, I talked to him at Wendy's one day. I said, Brother Jess, I've been reading Daniel 70 weeks. What about this? Oh, that's to the Jews, Brother Claude. Then why did Brother Bram spend three messages teaching us St. Daniel 70 weeks? You see what I'm saying? Why did he do... Then Brother Branham wasted my time listening to those three tapes? I don't think so. I just... Boy, when I hear people say that, I want to go beat my head against the wall. You know? Okay, so here we go. Between the sixth and seventh seal and the seventh seal is just one thing. That's all. It's silence in heaven.
Amen.
Right? It's silence in heaven. Why? Because he descended with a white cloud for 3.5 years. He preached a ministry. It was a son of man revealing the son of man. There was silence in heaven.
Amen.
There was nothing going on in heaven. You understand? It's all going on here.
Amen.
Everybody agree with that?
Amen.
Okay, there's your silence in heaven for space of a half an hour. And now only God, does everybody see that?
Right.
Only God can reveal that. It's not even symbolized nowhere.
Amen.
Amen.
You don't get the seventh seal if God don't reveal it.
No.
Everybody got that? If God don't reveal the seventh seal to you, you'll never get it. You can read through the Bible. You can know the letter of the Bible. You can quote. Sister Peggy, I say that so much at my church. I thank you for that. She's sitting there one day and she said, you know, Brother Claude, a lot of preachers, all they are is quoters. She's right. I've went out on the internet and listened to some of them. They're just quoters. I mean, honestly, I couldn't go to their church. They don't preach a rapturing faith message. I don't think people understand how important rapturing faith is in this hour. I don't know about you, but I gotta get out of here. When I see all these judgments striking right and left and all around me, I say, oh God, get me out of here. And the only way you're gonna get out of here is if that seventh seal rapturing faith's been loose to you. Because the word you got in you, your new body's gonna materialize around that. The revelation that you got set in your heart tonight, that new body is gonna materialize. Has everybody got that? Oh yeah. Okay, well, did he pull it up? Okay, up. Seventh seal. Now notice this just being one verse here, we'd like to do something just a little bit before here. Okay? If you needed, we skip the seventh chapter of what? Revelation. The first six seals are preached in Revelation chapter 6. The seventh seal comes in Revelation chapter 8. Everybody got that? Okay? Okay, let's go. He says here, the sixth chapter ends up the sixth seal. Does everybody agree with that?
Amen.
Huh? Okay, now then. Between the sixth and seventh seal, there's something takes place.
Amen.
And how lovely that's placed just in its right place between the sixth and seventh chapter. Okay? Now, if you notice in the seventh chapter, we notice between the sixth and seventh chapter, there's an interval between the sixth and seventh chapter of the book of Revelations, and it's between the sixth and seventh seal. That this interval is given. Now we want to notice this. Very important that we notice this little time. I'm going to tell you ahead of time. You got your Bibles? Turn to chapter 7. Revelation 7. Okay? Let's go up next quote. So you'll be there when we get there. Next quote. Listen to this. This is a startling quote. When I read this, I like to fell over out of my chair. Look at this quote. When finished at Laodicean age. Finished. Does anybody understand what finished means? Does anybody understand ED is past tense? ED is past tense, right? Okay. When finished at Laodicean age, according to Revelation 10, the mystery of all the Bible would be known to the bride. Is that right? Revelations 10, listen close now, bride called out by the word, Christ himself calling out the bride, making plain, everybody got that?
Amen.
At the end of the Laodicean, making plain, Hebrews 13:8,
Amen.
That he's the same yesterday, today, and forever does the same, is the same, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he do also. Man, that sounds Georgian, don't it? That sounds like Oklahoma stuff. I tell people in Bartlesville, I speak Okiebonics. We're called Okies in Oklahoma. I speak Okiebonics. I said, if you're going to understand me, church, you're going to have to speak Okiebonics. Got to do it. Okay? So where did I get to, by the way? Okay. Okay, the works that I do should do. And then he goes on Luke 17:30. How many believe that? Revealing the Son of Man.
Amen.
As it was in the days of Noah.
Amen.
You know what happened in Noah's? It rained. You know they never had rain before that?
Nope.
Do you know they didn't? That was a new message. That was a mystery that they didn't. They go, you know what's, brother, it's going to rain. They go, what's that? We've never seen it rain before. It never rained on the earth. Do we have a new message? Did the Bible become a new book? As it was in the days of Noah, a new message. Everybody agree? There you go. Marvelous new message. Okay. Mystery to the world, not a mystery to me. It was revealed to Noah, revealed to me. Okay. Luke 17:30, also Malachi 4, Hebrews 4. Now everybody know what Malachi 4 is, don't you? That's a seventh age messenger being revealed, isn't it? Behold, I send you, Elijah the prophet, before that great and terrible day, before tribulation. Is that what it says? Before the earth's burn over? Okay. We got that one. Hebrews 4:12, where it's a discerner of the thought and intent. He's here discerning you right now. You know what discerning means? Judge. Get that bad part out of you, that quote that he said in the sixth seal. That's important. We need to take a look at ourselves through the microscope of this message and get the bad part out. Get it out. It's time, people. We're running out of time. We ain't the bride. She ain't got much time. Okay? We're about out of here. All these scriptures that's promised, this is between, listen to this, between the sixth and seventh seal. Huh? Is that what it says? Did I say that or did he just say it? Between the sixth and seventh seal. See, we're looking for things to happen when they've already happened, brother. Between the sixth and between the sixth and seventh trumpet.
Amen.
You're looking for the trumpets, all seven of them, to sound there. You know what those seven trumpets sounding is? Those two probably will reveal what they are to the people. As it was in, or let's go it this way. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he shall begin to sound. Right? Everybody got that? Now I'm going to ask you all a question. Did the first seal open in the days of Paul? Yes. Did the white horse rider ride in the days of Paul? Was it open? Yes. Was the mystery of it open? No. Has everybody got that? That seal was open in the days of Paul. That horse started riding. That ox started riding. You understand? It was open because don't tell me it wasn't the red horse. You tell 68 million Protestants that it didn't open. It was real to them. It killed 68 million people. The seal was open there. The first seal, the second seal, the third seal, the third, fourth seal are already open. That's in the church ages. That's church age. That's the living creatures, the ministry. That was during the church ages those things were made known. They were open there. Is that right? Come on. It's the truth. A lot of those things we're looking to happen, friends, have already happened. We need to catch up and get the revelation of these things, and then we need to say, let's get the bad part out. Let's cry to God for us to get out of here, because judgments are struck all around, and I don't want any more of this. I want to go. The bride says, even so, Lord, come quickly. So between the sixth and seventh seal and the sixth and seventh trumpet, Malachi 4 shows up on the scene. Pretty startling, isn't it?
Thank you.
Everybody see that? I didn't say that. He did. Let's go on. Okay, now I'm talking about the trumpets. I talked about the seals this morning. I'm talking about the trumpets now. Look, next one. Look, I want to say one more thing closely now. Don't miss this. How striking. From the seventh angels, messenger of the seventh seal, message in Revelation 10 was the seventh seal. Everybody got that?
Amen.
The coming of the Lord, Revelation 10:7, the mighty angel that come down, only Christ it could be. We were talking about it last night. I didn't want to say a whole lot of what I was saying. But do you understand, Brother Branham, it's 6408. The questions and answers are, I think, 0405, right in through there. They said, does the bride have a ministry? Brother Branham said, yes, the bride has a ministry. Of course we have a ministry. Is that right? If the bride is the final voice to the final age, everybody in this room has a ministry. And Brother Branham said, God don't take his prophet home until his ministry's over. I was telling the sisters, Brother Ray, your husband that left, They went home because their ministry was over. Okay. They displayed the Son of Man ministry. Is that right? Yes. When God was finished with him, he said, there's no more they can do. I'm taking them home. Amen. It's like Hezekiah, the king. Does everybody understand Hezekiah? God said, okay, get ready, Hezekiah, I'm taking you home. He prayed and said, I gotta get my house in order. 15 years he lived. He was the one that showed the Babylonian king all the gold and silver he had. And that's when they went into captivity. The prophet said, Hezekiah, why'd you show them what we had? It took them into captivity for 7 years. So you know what? If God's gonna pull my card, pull my card. I don't want to be a Hezekiah where I'm worthless. He didn't help the Israel, the church, one bit. It was time for him to go home. When these brothers, my song leader went home, I miss him. I want a song leader so bad I can't stand it. I've been praying for one like crazy. I see you guys got 5 or 6. It ain't fair. I'm mad at you. All your musicians, I'm mad at you. I got 3. You got, how many you got? Probably some of you out there haven't played yet. Oh my goodness. Like I say, you people, you better take a look at what you got. You got an abundance here. You are. Okay. Seventh seal of the seven trumpets. Between those two times. Oh God, how can we say this to make people see it? See, Brother Bram's struggling. He's wanting the people to see it. He's saying it this way. He's saying it that way. He's saying it this way to get the people to understand it. And they still didn't get it. He said, he told them, Bram, it ain't even for you. Shocking, isn't it? Shocking. Okay? But he knew we were going to be here. He knows them that are his. He knows those that are going to get it and ain't going to get it. He predestinated us to this message. In between that sixth trumpet and the sixth seal sounds at the same time. Is that what he said? The sixth sounds same time. And between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet, there is a prophet to appear before the Gentiles. Now, is he saying it or am I saying it? Yeah, listen. To call the people back to the original Pentecostal fathers. That's Malachi 4, by the way. Right? And the two witnesses of Revelation 11 appear to the Jews to send them to Jesus while the church is being taken up. Does everybody understand between the sixth and seventh trumpet, the Gentile prophet appears and the two witnesses? Is that what he said? I'm just reading it to you. Okay, all of them prophets, amen, the word of the Lord cannot be broken. It won't be a denomination. Amen. Do you see?
Amen.
Now I'm going to go and we're going to cover a lot of territory. The three woes. This is a quote Brother Branham had in 54. Now this is the third angel's message to the world, and you know what the third angel's message is going forth now in this day. Remember the three angels it talks about? Justification, sanctification, baptism, the Holy Ghost, your three-room house. Right. Is that right, Brother Wade?
Amen.
That's the third angel.
Yep.
It's going forth now in this day. This is the flying of the third angel, flying eagle. Don't you just love the way he said that? Just ties together.
Amen.
If you're a Bible reader, there was three woes followed it. The first one happened in War One. You know what the first woe was? War. Look, the scripture says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. That's the whole world. Was World War all the inhabitants of the earth? That's your first woe. First woe is over. Second woe. Second one happened in World War II. The second woe happened in World War II. Now I'm going to tell you something. You guys, you can go to Revelation chapter 11. The second woe does not end until the two prophets are killed in the street. Did you know the Second World War is still going on, sister? The men died, the spirits didn't die that was on them. Remember in our Sunday school teaching, spirits don't die till they get cast into the lake of fire. That river Euphrates was let out, 200,000 demons out of the river Euphrates, and there were four angels let loose, Hitler, Stalin, Eichmann, and Mussolini, and I got the quotes to prove it. There's your sixth trumpet. I'm going to read it in a minute. That's what it is. So you see, between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet, the end of all things is when that Gentile prophet comes. Everybody got it?
Amen.
You agree with that?
Yes.
He's exactly right. Okay? So listen to what it says. Second one happened in World War I. Again, go to chapter 11 when you get home. I think it's right after verse 15. It may be that. It said the two prophets died in the street, and it said the second woe was over. And the third woe is surely going to come. You know what that third woe is? The Battle of Armageddon. It's going to be another world war. Brother Wade said it last night. It's a nuclear war. It's going to burn this thing over. Isn't that something?
Amen.
But you know what? I ain't going to be here.
Amen.
Brother Brown said before a bomb drops, the bride will be gone.
Amen.
I'm not going to be here. Isn't that marvelous?
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord. All right, we're at the end of the road. Now, let's get this on our mind just before we read the scripture. Positionally, we are bound to be at the end of age. How long? I don't know. No one knows. Right? We don't know when we're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Right? It's going to happen. Revelation chapter 7, you're there, right? I told you to go there. Now listen to this, and Brother Branham places it. And I, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the corners of the earth. Now this is not the four angels in under the sixth trumpet. This is not the four angels. You understand that? I'm going to explain it to you. Standing on the four, holding the four winds. What did Brother Branham say winds were? War. There's four angels holding the war. Now I'm going to say, you're going to say, well, you just said, I'm going to explain it. Brother Bram did too. I'm going to explain it to you. That the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Everybody got that? Let's read the quote. Or let's read 7:2. And I saw another angel ascending from the east. Who was that? Brother Bram said that was the Holy Ghost. Is that what he said? You said it. You know where I'm going. Having the seal of the living God. Who has the seal of the living God? Holy Ghost is what seals you.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
You receive the what is it, 4:12, right? You receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost where you're sealed until the day of redemption.
Amen.
Who seals you? What are you sealed by? The Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You got a mark.
Yeah.
You know you got a mark on you? It's the seal of God.
Yep.
It ain't the seal of the Antichrist.
No.
It ain't 666. You got the seal of God on you.
Amen.
And when an angel comes to you, tries to take your life, he says, uh-oh, this guy's got a seal on him.
Right.
And you know who he's got to go to? He's got to go to God the Father and say, he's got a seal on him.
Right.
He says, but it's his time to go. I'm pulling his card.
Yep. Amen.
I'm through with him on the earth.
Right.
He was my faithful and good servant, and it's time for him to go home.
Yep.
Didn't you want your husband to go home? I know
Amen.
You don't.
Okay.
I'd hate to lose my wife. I told her I'm going to get a lap dog. I am not getting another wife. I trained her for 46 years. I haven't got another 46 years, Brother Terrence. Ain't got it, man. I'm going to get this. That girl's sister showed me that dog. Who sold me that dog? Pretty dog. I'm going to get one of them. I'm going to get a lap dog. Just a whole lot easier. Keep me company. I know, back here. Okay. Having the seal of living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. It was fixing to destroy this thing. Right? But there's an angel out of the east. The Holy Spirit said, stop it. Listen to what it says. Saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in our foreheads. Who's the servant? You go on and read in chapter 7, am I right? It talks about the 12 tribes. There's 12,000 out of each tribe. Until they get sealed, God stopped the war. Now I'm going to give you a little bit of history. You like history? Okay, good. World War I. General Allenby walked. The World War I had gotten right to the gates of Jerusalem. He called back the King of England and said, I'm at the gates. I'm fixing to go in with my tanks, my trucks, my guns, and I'm going to take Jerusalem. He said, this is a holy city. What do I do? You know what the King of England told him? Pray. Good advice. Right? Good advice. So he put a biplane up in the air, General Allenby. He went over it and he said, Allenby's coming. Allenby's coming. Those Muslims thought he said, Allah's coming. Allah's coming. No, he said, Allenby's coming. They didn't know English. Allah's coming. They ran up a white flag and stacked their rifles. General Allenby walked into the city of Jerusalem, never fired a shot, didn't drive a truck, didn't drive a trunk in there. You know why? Because those angels were bound where they couldn't bring war to Jerusalem until the 144,000 were sealed.
Amen.
Isn't that marvelous, people?
Amen.
God would do it. He's got the devil can't get you, Brother Bob. The only way he does it, God says, time for him to go home. I'm serious.
Amen.
The Jews, he said, there's not going to be a war. The war never reached Jerusalem in World War II.
Nope.
He killed 6 million out of Europe to drive them back there. What happened in World War I, go read it. The Ottoman Turks had controlled Jerusalem for 400 years. The British took it from the Ottoman Turks. It was back into Christian hands. In 1946, the British gave it back to Jerusalem. The ones that come out of the Exodus, the ship that come back to Jerusalem was called the Exodus. Don't you love that? Exodus, the first ship through, and they walked in back into Jerusalem. The people were returning to Israel. There was never been a war in Israel, but the Battle of Armageddon, she's going to go to the gates and the whole thing's going to be destroyed. And then in a millennium, we're going to set up a Jewish kingdom there. The Daniel 70 weeks doesn't go to where they set up a Jewish kingdom on earth. They're waiting for the millennium. He'll be the son of David in the millennium. Not before, right? Oh, you see how perfect this message is, people? Have we missed these things? Do we understand what's already going on? And all he's waiting for is us knuckleheads to get right. And get the bad part out. I'm sorry, but I did say us knuckleheads, didn't I? Okay, I just want to be sure you understood. I'm a knucklehead too. Now remember, the Holy Ghost was not taught as the baptism of the Holy Ghost until after World War I. So that angel that come out of the east must have been the Holy Ghost. It wasn't even taught till then. Okay? We just celebrated our golden jubilee. 1906, the Holy Ghost fell. Right? Azusa Street. Come on. Let me put it this way. It's not the Holy Ghost fell. The gifts were restored to the church. Let's just say it right. Do you understand? Now he's saying, here is where the Holy Ghost come in. Does everybody understand? Okay? I raised up in Pentecost. What nonsense. I tell people at the church, I remember going to tent meeting after tent meeting. I'd lay under the pew. The grass would grow up while we had our 3-week revival. At the last one, they'd have the kids come forward and they'd slap us on the back and say, now speak with tongues. And I'd get so tired of them hitting me. I'd go, blah, blah, blah. And, oh, he's got it. He's got the. And in the next revival, 3 weeks later, we were doing it all over again. Didn't get the Holy Ghost. Does everybody understand? The gifts were restored to the church, but not the Holy Ghost until he says here. I think that's beautiful, you know, until after World War I. We just celebrated our goal. 50, 57. Brother Bram said in 1956, America, you're receiving your jubilee. He said in 1957, I don't pray for her anymore. Why? She's been judged. I don't pray for America. I don't pray for the politics in America. I don't pray the educational system in America. He's already said it's of the devil. Why? If it's already been cursed, how can I bless what's been cursed? Let's just wake up. Let's just realize it's over out there in that world. It's all crazy and insanity out there. The only sane people there'll be, he said, was in the bride. Everything outside of this is not so. You gotta admit it's true. Okay, now then, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth or the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea or any tree, until we have sealed the servants, 144,000. Now I'm going to tell you something. Between that sixth and seventh trumpet, it also says, you go read it and you tell me, you know it's right. It also says there's somebody there in the seventh that's waiting on him. That's the bride. Who waits on you? Sister, who do you wait on? This guy right here. Right? It don't say wait. What's the word it uses, brother? You can read it. Right? Who do we serve? Who do we wait on? Christ. Right? We're his bride. What does the bride do? She serves her husband. Is that right? So what it's talking about in chapter 7, between the 6th and 7th seal, I didn't understand this until I started looking at this. Between the 6th and 7th seal, it says people come up out of tribulation there. Is that right? There was people that's the bride there around the throne, right? Then there's the 144,000 there. Do you see between the 6th and 7th trumpet? That's all going on? You see where we're at? This message tells us right where we're at. All these things have been fulfilled, people. We need to wake up and just get going. Get some gas in you. Get some dynamics and get the fire and get the dynamics. Let's go. Get your car moving. Okay? Next one, right down here. Here's where Jeremiah Allenby had fought till he'd hit the lines of Jerusalem. What shall I do? And he flew over it again when he did say, Allenby's a-coming, and there was Mohammedans in there. I love this. I think it's comical. Yeah. What did he say? Thought he said, all is coming, and they hoisted the white flag and surrendered. Yeah. That is a classic, man. That's one of the best battles ever, don't you think? Yeah, and took it without firing a shot. Now see, Brother Branham's tying it to that. Everybody got that?
Amen.
Then it says here, now he says, and turned it back over. Then they raised up Hitler to persecute the Jews. Does everybody see that?
Yep.
Here's your second woe coming into effect.
Amen.
Right?
Right?
But it's not going to reach his Jerusalem. Does everybody got that?
Amen.
Jerusalem has been spared wars in Jerusalem. Why? Because there's 144,000 that got to be sealed. Right? That's why the devil can't get you, Brother Bob. You're going to be around the throne, buddy. How's the devil going to get you? He ain't going to get you. He ain't going to get the 144,000. As hard as they've tried, Hitler tried to kill them by the millions, and he ain't got them. They just got tucked under the altar, under the fifth seal, under grace. Right? Oh. God's in control. He said, I'll not lose the one. All that the Father hath given me will come to me. They had their name on the book.
Amen.
Raised up Hitler to persecute the Jews and all around over the world and run them back in there. Go up. And so then this, all of them was marching to war. You remember in 1914, now it isn't strange, right in the decline of World War I. Do you know this day who stopped that war?
Yep.
Kaiser Wilhelm said he never issued no such thing.
Yep.
Listen to this. But all of a sudden it stopped and nobody knows why. We know why.
Amen.
That angel out of the east flew and said, don't you touch it. I got 144,000 that I've got a seal in there. Right?
Amen.
Remember, a Jew out of his homeland's backslidden.
Amen.
They got to go back to their homeland.
Right.
You got to be in the message to be saved.
Amen.
Remember you said it? People don't think they can go anywhere. They don't have to be under the message of the hour and they can be saved. This message is what God sent of grace.
Amen.
The message of grace to save you. By
Amen.
Grace are you saved through faith.
Amen.
This message is what's going to save you. Outside of that, you're going to bust tribulation open.
Amen.
Nobody knows why. We know. We know. Oh, it's given unto you to know. They were fighting here, come up to the front and all come. It was all over. The war was over. And that they already signed a treaty of peace knowing what happened. Nobody knows why World War I ended. The angel stopped it, friends. This was something supernatural that happened. Isn't that something? I think this is marvelous. It was God that stopped it to fulfill His word. There's the angel that stopped it. These angels went forth with a slaughtering weapon to destroy the whole world. Everybody see that? They were starting in Jerusalem, the most holy city, buddy. They were destroyed in Jerusalem. God would have never been able to fulfill His word of getting 144,000 Jews. World War II, you know, Hitler actually went to the King Faisal, the guy that's head of PLO, and said, we want to send the Jews to Jerusalem. He said, I don't want them here. This is Muslim territory. It's been under control. We're all Muslims here. We don't want no Jews here. They ask America, do you want them? No. British? No. You know, that's why they did the final solution. You know, America's responsible for that. The only country in the world that would take them, Ecuador took 40,000 Jews. Ecuador. Isn't that the craziest thing you ever heard? The rest of the country, we don't want no Jews. We already got enough of them. They don't want none of them Acts 2:38 youngins running around, do they? They don't want us, do they?
Nope.
They don't want us.
Nope.
They just don't know what to do with us. But they're going to have come up with their final solution, but God's got His final solution.
Amen.
Like I told the church, Brother Ram said there's going to come an hour where they're going to shut your church door. Do you realize the bride's the final voice of the final age? When they try to shut our voice, we're out of here.
Amen.
Why would God keep us here if we can't freely speak our voice? What would be the purpose in being here? Right? So when they come and shut your church door, you're not going to go, oh, what am I going to do? Like Moses got to the Red Sea and went, wah, wah. Mountain here, Egypt, big dust bowl coming up. He said, what do you got in your hand? I got this rod. I got this word. Strike the water and go forth. You know what, God? When they shut the doors, I'm just going to go forth. Because when they shut her voice, it's finished, friends. It's finished. Brother Bram said they're going to turn it into a storehouse. Did you know that?
That's right.
Okay. We've got to seal the service of our God. Now go up. Listen, now we're going to move to the trumpets. I had to get that in. First, I'm going to say the first four trumpets. Now, if you remember the angels, one of them was to heal the grass, the tree, and pollute the water. Is that what it said? Right? That's what war does. Do you know what war brings forth? Plagues. Is that right? Amen. Brother Branham said a trumpet will blow, it'll bring forth war, it'll bring forth famine and plagues, pestilences, and then death. Yep. What's tribulation going to be? Death. Amen. Everybody got that?
Amen.
Okay. 8:6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, there followed hell and fire mingled with blood and were cast up on the earth.
Amen.
Didn't it say, don't you hurt the earth?
Yep.
Didn't he hold those angels from doing that? Those angels are still held today until the 144,000 are sealed, until the bride is around the throne, until those that come up out of tribulation, the foolish virgins, are going to be killed the first 3.5 years. Isn't that what Brother Bram said in the sixth seal? There's going to be three things happening. He's going to purge what? The 144,000. He's going to purge the foolish virgin. He's going to purge the earth. Once God has purged the foolish virgin and 144,000, why not wipe the earth off? There ain't nobody else going to be saved.
Amen.
He said after we go up in the rapture, there won't be another Gentile saved.
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
Well, might as well be honest.
Amen.
First angel, it said, what happened to first angel sound? The first trumpet blew, third part of the tree was burned up. It said, don't burn the trees. Is that what it said in seven? Right? God's held these up, Brother Bob. Because why? He's got 144,000, the bride, and some tribulation saints to get to.
Amen.
He can't destroy these things. Then the next one here, the second angel, third part of the sea became blood. Right? Didn't he hold that up? Go read seven again and you'll see it. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea. Doesn't it say that? Go read it. Third part of the ships were destroyed. Man, this is like bad stuff. Does this sound like all out war to you? He's holding it up.
Amen.
Okay? The third angel sounded, it fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of the water. The name of the star is called Wormwood, which means bitter.
Right.
You know Chernobyl, that actually means wormwood?
Yep, right.
That river over there was polluted with that?
Yep, right.
Did you know that happened? A lot of people around the message said, oh, that's that trumpet. No, it's not. That ain't going to fall. That's held up until I get out of here.
Right.
You seen a little type of it. Can I go back to what I said? These judgments and these things like the Chernobyl, it's showing you a type of what's going to happen in that nuclear thing.
Exactly right.
Has everybody got that? God has been so good to us, he's given us a shadow of things to come.
Right.
To let us know, people, you're right there at the edge of this thing falling apart and you need to get yourself ready.
Amen.
Grace of God. The name of the star is Wormwood and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, the third part of the sun was smitten, the third part of the moon. Now we ain't seen that. You know what happens? I read an article one time. If they go to a nuclear war, then it's going to cover the sun and moon up and it's going to freeze here. Did you know it's going to be catastrophic because it throws that dust up in the air. It's going to block the moon and the sun. Did you know that's going to happen? If you drop a nuclear warhead into the water and it kills a third part of the creatures in it, do you see that? That's what it's talking about. It's withheld those wars. I mean, America, Brother Ram said there's going to be a drunk Russian going to hit the button one day. When I worked at Phillips, I was dealing with a guy was a Ukrainian and worked over there, and he was talking to me. He said, every day before we go to work, we buy a milk thing, you know, those plastic milk or those cartons, you know, you open up like that. He said, we drink a vodka every morning. They're nothing but a bunch of drunks over there. And then Brother Ram said, one day the drunk's going to hit the button. I thought, I was so glad to hear that.
Yeah.
Not that they're getting drunk, but boy, we're on our way.
Yeah.
They're over there getting sauced up as we speak, okay?
Amen.
Now let's go to the fifth trumpet. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star from heaven unto the earth, and him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose the smoke out of the pit, and the smoke out of the great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of smoke locusts. Locusts. Okay? I'm going to show you something here in a minute. Very important. Upon the earth, and unto them was given... As scorpions of the earth have power. What did scorpions are? What did Brother Ram say scorpions were? Tormentors.
Right.
To torment
right. The
women who cut their hair.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know he said that?
That's
verbatim what he said.
Right.
Do you know when women started cutting their hair, by the way? You remember how women bobbed their hair?
Mm-hmm.
You know where that came from? A guy named Castle Bob. Bob Castle, 1920, the Roaring Twenties, right after World War I, the Holy Ghost started coming. Devil raised up a standard. Devil come up, God put the Holy Ghost down. You know what women started doing in the 1920s? Cutting their hair. The tormentor started then.
Amen.
I want to show you. Hold on. Okay? And it's commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, these locusts, right? See, they're there, but they're not part of the four. The fifth's not a part of the four. You understand? They're not going to hurt the trees. They're not going to hurt the earth. Is that what it says? Okay. Neither any green thing, neither any tree, nor any, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. The tormentors here, friends. There's a quote, and I don't have it in my notes. You know who Brother Branham, it says in the fifth seal, Apollyon, and what's the other guy's name? Abaddon? No, don't go up. Stay down. I didn't say next. It's not here. That quote's not here. This is for free. I don't have it there. Brother Branham said that Apollyon and that come out in the fifth was Lucifer. Lucifer. Everybody got that? Does everybody understand in the church age? Let me show you this chart. In this church age, they had the Holy Ghost down here. Does everybody agree?
Yes.
Up here, when they organized, the fullness of the Holy Ghost left the church.
Right.
He returned up here with the fullness of the Word.
Right.
Remember Luther had a dip of the Holy Ghost?
Right.
Everybody got it?
Amen.
Wesley had a dip of the Holy Ghost?
Amen.
I don't have a dip.
No.
I had the fullness of the Holy
That's
Ghost.
Right.
Amen.
I didn't get a dip.
No.
I got the fullness of the Word.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost in the fullness has returned into
Amen.
His bride.
Amen.
She is Him.
Yes.
Everybody got it?
No.
So when did He return? See, He's returned now, right?
Yes,
that's what He said. I didn't say it.
Right.
He's come back to bring us what? To the fullness of the Word.
Amen.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. It was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. For a space of time, these locusts are going to torment people. Okay? But they that should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion which he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. Go read in World War I. Those men in those trenches wanted to die. For 4 years they had been battered by artillery. Do you realize the plague? Remember Brother Branham said war, plague? The flu broke out while they were in the trenches. You know, more men died in World War I of the flu than they did of a gunshot wound.
Yep.
Brother Branham said that was a plague. Remember I told you that?
Yep.
Then right after the war, the men had been killed out. The women went off the farms, moved to the city and started cutting their hair. They couldn't get a boyfriend on the farm anymore. He'd been killed. So they went into the cities and they went bar hopping. They started doing that jazz stuff. They started bobbing their hair, wearing short dresses. Everybody got what I'm saying? But as soon as that woman cut her hair, she started getting tormented. You know, my pastor told me something one time, he said, Brother Claude, I've never seen a little girl that they sat in one of those chairs and cut their hair that little girl won't start crying. You ever see that? Them little girls got more sense than them grown women.
Yeah.
It's just, it's part of a woman to have long hair. It's your femininity. What did they do, the Jews, before they took them to the ovens, cut their hair?
Yeah.
Tormented them.
Yeah.
Everybody got that? Torment.
Yeah.
Ugh, don't you hate them locusts?
Yeah.
And the shapes of the locusts were likened to horses prepared in a battle, and on their heads were crowns like gold, and on their faces were as faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of a woman to torment them, Brother Bram said. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. Sound of their wings was the sound of chariots and the sound of many horses running to battle. And they had tails likened to scorpions, and they were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Okay? Did I already read that? And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Who is that? Lucifer.
Amen.
Brother Branham, there's a quote where Brother Branham says that's Lucifer.
Yes.
Lucifer was loose. You understand?
Right.
You think it was bad. It's really bad now.
Amen.
Every devil in hell's out now, friends. 200,000. Brother Branham said in the seals, those are spiritual chargers.
Yes.
There's not 200,000 horsemen in the world. They are spiritual chargers aimed at the bride. They torment you. I told the church, when you get out of bed, they're sitting right there to torment your ride. Is that right? There's no let up now. Brother Branham, people say, well, when the pressure comes, you big dummy, go read the message. Brother Branham preached letting off the pressure in 62. The pressure was already there and it's getting worse and worse and worse. We've been here sitting in it and it's like, duh. They're there's pressure all around us. Open your eyes. Don't be like those blind Laodiceans. Right? You know, I just got through preaching Stature of a Perfect Man, and it said that these things here will abound in you, and they will not make you blind. The reason these Laodiceans are blind, they don't have the seven church ages, they don't have the seven messengers, they don't have the seven attributes. Go read it. It said, because these don't abound in you, you're blind. Is that what it says, brother? See how it all ties together? All the scriptures coming together, right? And that king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue is Apollyon, one woe is past. Right? World War I's over, friends. It's done. And behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Now let's go here. Why will we restore? This is one that Brother Brand preached in 57. This one really got my attention. During the dark age, they come forth with an organization. They come forth with a man-made policy. The locusts begin to fly then. Wow. Does everybody remember the bride tree? And there's the four bugs that ate it away. Amen. I think the first one was the caterpillar or cankerworm. The second one was the locust. You know what happened under that red horse rider? They denominated. And he said the locusts started to sting. You know what the locusts are? False unity. I'm going to read it. It's false unity. What did they start doing? Church and state combined. It was a false unity. The World Council of Churches, false unity. Now let me just be honest with you. Nazism, ism is a spirit. False unity. Communism, spirit. Brother Bram said they're religious devils. Ism is a spirit. Did everybody know that? They were religious devils. It got on them. You know what Hitler, why he started killing the Jews? What he said? They killed our Lord. You know, Martin Luther said that they were Antichrist. Did you know Martin Luther said that? You know, he was a German. You know, Hitler was a German. Now, let me give you something that Brother Branham said. And you can go out to the internet and they argue. But I take Brother Branham over the internet. He said, you know what he said? Adolf Hitler was half Jew. He killed his own brothers. He said it. Go look at the quotes. The 144,000, who's going to kill them? Their own brothers. We have had an amateur tribulation, a type of what's coming up in tribulation. Everybody okay with that? This is meat. The locusts begin to fly then. What? False unity. Everybody understand? False unity, it's going to, you know, women, I worked in a group, this is crazy. I worked in a group of 75 people and 73 of them were women. And when you're two men and you work in a group of, they always wanted to bring me food. They'd always say, what's your favorite vegetable? I said, chocolate. I did. They'd say, what's your favorite cake? I said, chocolate. Every time they said anything, they said, what do you want? Chocolate. Man, I got fed so much chocolate in those days. Unreal. But what I'd crack me up to them women, woman get a haircut. They'd go up there and women be around, oh, I love your haircut. You look so good. You bobbed your hair. It looks good. False unity. So, you women, you work out there. What do you women work out there? And when a woman gets her haircut, there'll be other women that go, I just love your haircut. Isn't that what they say? Always they say that. That's false unity. They don't realize that they're being tormented. That's false unity. What was it in the church age when the locusts started going, flying then? False unity. Let's go. The same devil that broke up brotherhood is trying to break up the unity of man. Is that right? And they made their first organization, and that was the Catholic Church. See the false unity? God's church never was organized till Catholicism, and then it was a forcing that you had to do it, or they pulled them apart with ox, they burned them, they fed them lions, they done everything, and they forced in a false unity. Those locusts are false unity, brothers. Nazism was a false unity. Communism is a false unity. Does everybody agree with that? Fascism is a false unity. Denominationalism is a false unity. Yes. Now I'm going to tell you the true unity. You want to hear it? Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's where I'm united. Amen. I'm not under that false unity. I'm not getting tormented by them crazy things. Right? Remember that Baptist lady when she was dying? She got real tormented, didn't she? Preacher, you lied to me. She said, quick, give her some morphine. Killed her. Baptist preacher, I think it was. Now what he said? The locusts begin to sting. Does everybody see that? And it's too bad. After the caterpillar had gotten to the Pentecostal church and broke up the brotherhood, then the locusts come around after that and begin to sting her to an organization, different little groups to break up our unity. That's one of the destroyers. See, we're looking for something to happen. It's already happened. Run it up. This guy did this in my church back in 1969. Do you see this here? Locust. See where this locust is? This is during the dark ages when the church and state got together and they started killing them. Brother Bram is just by that quote telling you this is where he began this thing. Right? Then we come out of here under Luther and we started coming out of organization. Then what happened after war? You know when the Confederation of Churches started? Does anybody know when that was founded? 1920. After the war, it was confederated in Switzerland. Then it moved its office to New York. False unity. Those locusts are currently stinging. And what they sting you with is a false unity. Where you think you're safe and you're not. Isn't that what they thought in Babel? Is that how Nimrod got them together? Said, you know what, them wild animals are eating you up out there. If you'll come and live in Babel, I'll protect you. I'm a mighty hunter.
Yeah.
False unity. Never worked out for him, did it? Right? Never worked out. The only unity you have is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, friend. You better get the baptism of the Holy Ghost or it's like fighting a bear with a switch. We're in that hour where every devil's after your hide. You better be sure you got it. It's going to come in real handy. Okay? I love this here. The only thing I told my brother, I wish you to put flying eagle. I already told you that this morning. But does everybody see this chart where the locust started? See that?
Yep.
See that? That's when they got, boy, when they united, they started killing people right and left, right?
Yeah.
Okay, go up off the chart. I love this chart. I preach off from it. Now let's go to the sixth trumpet, okay? And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet loose. Oh gosh, excuse me. Had the trumpet loose the four angels which are bound in the river Euphrates. Four angels.
Right.
You know who Brother Branham said they were? Hitler,
yep.
Stalin,
yep.
Mussolini,
yep.
And Eichmann.
Yep.
I'll read the quote in a minute. You'll see it. Say, okay, loose the four angels. And the four angels were loosed which were prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, and a year for to slay a third part of the men. Did anybody know how many Jews there were on the earth in during World War II? Before 18 million. You know how many were killed? 6 million. Now you do the math. 6 into 18, what do you get? A third. Is that what it says?
Amen.
Okay, scripture's right.
Amen.
And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. And I saw the horses in the vision and them that sat on them. Now a prophet, look, John, they never knew tanks, they never knew trucks, they never knew that. So he had to describe it in the best way he could put it in present terms. Does everybody understand that? That's what he's describing, what he's seen. John saw, right?
Right.
So he's writing what he saw. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, them set on them, breastplate, fire, Japheth, brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three was the third part of the men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths.
Right.
If Hitler said, kill the Jews, they killed them.
Yes.
How do you destroy the devil? By the fire that proceeds out of your mouth. The word of God. How did they kill him? By the word of Hitler, by the word of Stalin, by the word of Mussolini, by the word. Everybody got that? They put out a final solution on him, right? See, it proceeded out of their mouth. They started destroying Jews right and left after that. Okay? And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not. So the Jews that weren't killed by the plagues, they didn't repent. Did the Jews repent? Did it bring them to repentance? I've looked at many, many, many. I love World War II, looking at the history. Not one Jew has ever repented of that. You know what the Jews say? Why did God let us die like this? Why did my whole family die in the ovens? Some of them changed their names when they made it to America. Did you know that? They didn't. They said, we're giving up the Jewish religion. Couldn't stand the persecution. You know why people are giving up the message? They can't take the heat. The persecution. The judge. Right? Shows they ain't got the Holy Ghost. If they could, they'd take it. Right? Put in not of the works of the hands, and they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can be seen nor hear or walk. Neither repented they of the murders, the ones that murdered them. I've seen many a testimony of SS people, and they say, we killed them because we were ordered to. They have never repented of what they've done. You're shaking your head. Have you ever looked at those YouTube deals on SS? They'll have them there in a chair and say, why'd you do it? At the Nuremberg trials, I've read it. All those people said, we were under orders. None of them ever repented of what they did. Isn't that something? You talk about devils. Did Judas repent of what he did? He tried, but he couldn't do it. Right? These guys here don't even repent. They're sorry. Listen, the sixth seal is perfectly turned back over sea. What Jesus said here now in Matthew 24:29, immediately after the tribulation of these days, after this Eichmann case and so forth, immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, the moon. I'm going to go on down, down, down. Go to the next quote. That's scripture there, and I've already read it. Note in Revelation, the 9th chapter and the 13th, now notice, real close under the sixth trumpet, Revelations 9:13 or the sixth trumpet, there was 200,000 horsemen that's been bound in the river Euphrates, was turned loose under the sixth trumpet. Amen. Now there's not 200,000 horsemen in the world, but there was 200,000 horsemen. Notice it. I want you to jot it down so you can read it. They wasn't natural horses. They breathed fire and they had breastplate of jasper. They had tails. End of their tail looked like it's a spiritual horse, a spiritual devils, chargers that's been bound in the bound in Euphrates all these years, supernatural devils. What was it? The old Roman Empire being revived, the persecution of the Jews under the sixth seal. Does everybody see what he's saying? They had been bound for nearly 2,000 years at the river Euphrates, can't cross to the promise. A religious sect. Yeah. See, Brother Branham said they're a religious sect. Nazism. Ism's the spirit. Nope. They worshiped Hitler. Do you know I've seen a video, and this will shock your hide, where they were singing in a great, in a little school, like a sixth grade, fifth grade, Hitler is our savior. Has anybody seen it? Go out and look at it. It's on, you got it on YouTube. This teacher with one of those pointers was going, Hitler is our savior. Don't tell me that ain't a religious devil. They worshiped that guy. Huh? Sure. They made an oath to him even. Okay. Listen to this. Where did I get to? Trying to get to it. Okay. And notice what happens under that sixth trumpet. They were turned loose on the Jews, the persecution. Supernatural devils, nearly 2,000. Then loosed by Stalin, Hitler, and upon the Jews. Is that what I said? Does everybody understand that sixth trumpet's already happened? See, the trumpets are just like the seals. The seals, the first one was opened all the way back in Paul. The mystery of it wasn't made known till here. It's happened to the Jews. That sixth trumpet was opened all the way down here, but it's not going to be known to them why they suffered in the ovens, why their whole families died, until those two prophets tell them it was the tender hand of Jehovah. Did you know that's what's going to happen to them? Sounded. What does it say? In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. It says in the Revelation, the trumpet sounded. What's it going to be? Brother Bram stood there and said, well, you know what I'm waiting for? Those angels to reveal it. Didn't that happen to Brother Branham? Come on. That's what he said, right? Well, so these angels, what are they going to do? Going to reveal to them two prophets? This is why you died in the ovens. They're sitting there going, why'd we die in the ovens? It makes no sense. We were good living people. We lived the law. We love God. And they died in the ovens. That's a fair question to ask why when all your kinfolk's been killed, right? I know I'd sure ask. So he answers it. Well, that isn't Roman, and he's the same spirit. They done the same things they did to the Christians in the old pagan Rome. So that spirit come out of the river Euphrates. Does everybody understand that? It's the same thing that happened here, except on the plus side. The Holy Ghost that was thrown out of the church ages because they denominated, Then he come back up here in the fullness of the word. Well, guess what? Guess what happened? Here comes the devil again out of the river Euphrates. Right? God had to put something to fight it. Okay? Now watch the natural Israel and the spiritual church. Now, as we separated here, turn loose on the Jews. Next one. Or is there a next one? Is that it? Up. That it? There's your trumpets.
Amen.
Isn't that simple? We think, well, you know, the trumpets are going to be opened over there. There's going to be... No, those trumpets are already open. They just hadn't been revealed to the Jews yet. But Brother Branham's spending time to show us how that's already happened. And we're sitting between the sixth and... Did he say we're between the sixth and seventh trumpet? Does everybody see where we're at? That sixth trumpet already was open to them under persecution. Everybody got it? I know some of you are looking at me strange. But between the sixth and seventh seal, those three prophets come on the scene. Between the sixth and seventh trumpet, the prophets come on the scene. Everybody got it? So the fifth trumpet was already open. It's, what is it? False unity. What you see going, you know, somebody told me this church the other day, it blew my mind, Sister Peggy. They said, I said, you know, Brother Branham was here, there's 969 denominations. This brother said, I looked it up the other day, Brother Claude, there's over 10,000. 13,000. Already 3,000 more since the other day? Man, you're good, Brother Wade. You know what that is? False unity. And remember, you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're going to be deceived. Is that what it says? There's so much false unity out there. That's why in my own little silly way, I try to warn people, if you move out of a church that's preaching rapturing faith, you better make sure you're moving to a church with rapturing faith. My advice to you is if you've got a pastor that's teaching you rapturing faith, you stay there the rest of your life. You get behind him, support him, and pray for him. He gives his body, his mind, and his soul to you people. I've been pastoring now for 14 years, and you can't imagine the havoc it runs on you. As a pastor's wife, my wife said, I never thought you'd be a pastor. I think what she was really telling me, I wish you weren't. You go through it when you're a minister, man. Brother Dale Potter said something in our pulpit one time that really struck me. He said, Brother Claude, the preachers are there casting out devils. You know, we do. We cast out devils, right? By the preaching of the word, you cast out devils. You agree with that? He said, every one of them followed me home, back to the hotel room. And I got to fight them things off me all night. You know, your pastor will lead you through. He's pushing you through every devil in hell. He's forfeiting his mind, his body. He's giving everything he's got to you people. Now you give back. You got brotherly kindness. You'll live one for another. You pray for him without ceasing, fervent prayer. You get behind the fivefold ministry here that stepped up to carry this thing through. Come on. You got a beautiful fivefold. I went out and listened to Brother Bob. I listened to Brother Louie. I listened to you guys. You guys are real help to this man. Brother Wade, excellent, excellent. Brother Samuel, I mean, when I first started preaching, man, I went in 70, I think it was 72, Brother Sam, when you preached at Seven Seals. I heard them. I thought, oh my goodness. I started preaching in 2011 or 2007. He preached them back in 1972 and they were good for that day. Man, what a revelated man. Amen. You have been so, I want you to know, people, you need to start recognizing how blessed you are. Amen. Instead of getting down to drumps and feeling the dumps and feeling sorry for yourself and being depressed, why can't you just be happy? Do the opposite. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to be happy and glad in it. Get yourself going. Amen. The bride has made herself ready. Get your... Pack your bags. Get the bad part out. Amen. You know, I didn't bring my bad clothes. When I come out here, I left them at home. Get rid of your bad part. Start getting to your good part. And we'll be workers together. I'll get rid of my bad part. You get rid of your bad part. And we're going to get out of here. Let's go. You see where we're at? We're at the end of all things. What are you looking to happen? Brother Bram said, just the readiness of the bride. Amen. Laodicea is finished. Amen. You're in the bride age. I'm not under Laodicea anymore. Amen. Didn't he say Laodicea, the age was finished, Laodicea? Did he say it? Amen. It's finished, friends. Amen. It's all about the bride and the groom. The whole focus right now, that's where it's at. Amen. Now, people work. add these things to you. Do the best you can to get out of here. And we all need to work together to get out of here. Everybody okay? I know I went fast and I traveled fast. But I just want you to see whoever there, here, you see where we're at? Nothing's left but the readiness of the bride. Just what he said. So when COVID rains down, I'm going, why is that happening? I don't care. I'm trying to get myself out of here. Why do I care about COVID? Huh? Why do I care about these things? You know what I mean? I'm not going to major on that stuff. I'm going to major on the message of the hour. It's Christ. Wonderful group of people. I've always enjoyed preaching here. You guys received the word gladly. What they did in Jesus' day. You know that? And you always do. I want to thank you for having me, Brother Wade. Brother Wade's like a brother to me, my ugly brother. Hope you're okay with that. But my younger brother. So I appreciate, Brother Wade, appreciate each and every one of you. And we'll continue. You pray for my church, and I'm going to tell my church to pray for your church. Amen. Is that fair?
Amen.
That's what I'm going to do. So I want to say, God bless you.
About the fastest I've seen you fly. That's good though. Got some good notes on that. You'll have to go back and chew it. Remember, we have to regurgitate and chew it a little bit, you know. And it was all good. It was all real good. And it's showing you exact. Listen, when the bride realizes who she is and what she's doing here. Well, he just told us where we were. So by the word of God, we know where we're at. So God bless you. Let's sing a song if you have a need. We'll pray for you. If not, we'll sing a song, and then we'll go downstairs.
Sing every praises to our God. Giveth.
Every praise just to our God.
Oh, let's start again.
Every praise is to our God.
Sing it to him.
Every word of worship with one accord. Every praise. Every praise is to our God.
Thank you for the word. He brought the word today.
Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory hallelujah is to our God. Every praise is to our God.
Sing every praise.
Every praise is to our God. God, every word of worship with one accord. Every praise, yes, is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah, is to our God. Every praise,
thank you, Lord.
Every praise.
God, my Savior.
Sing it to
oh,
him.
God, my Savior. God, my healer. God, my deliverer. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. God, my Savior.
Savior.
Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Thank you, God. We thank Brother Claude for coming and being with us, him and his lovely wife. We've always been good friends for years, and we knew his pastor, Brother Jess, and it's kind of, we both kind of about the same background, with because Brother Jess and Brother Dale was kind of about the same style of ministry, so we come up with that. So that really helped us in our ministry. The ministry you come up under helps you a lot. I mean, really, it helps you. That's why you should have a pastor, because the pastor is going to be the one that where you get fed from. Amen. So, and you know that there's evangelists running around all over the country that don't have a pastor. And Brother Dale said he was not going to preach them.
I agree.
And so you got to have a pastor. Everybody's got to have a pastor, because you got to have that. You got to have that. Like I said, if the devil's breaking unity, God's putting unity back in. Amen. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this man right here that sang that song just a minute ago, he breathed water for about 10 minutes. He fell out of a boat and couldn't get back in the boat. His shoes filled up with water, and they couldn't find him for a long time. And they finally found him. He was fishing. You fish a lot, so remember this. Well, he fell out of in deep water, and all they found, he finally, you stuck your pole up out of the water, right? Stuck his pole up out of the water, and the buddy that was with him finally saw that pole sticking up out of the water, and they pulled him up, and he'd been underwater for a long time. Long time. He said he'd been walking under the water. That's right. So it seems pretty good to be sucking water in his lungs several years ago, right? So thank God. I'm glad you did that. That was great. All right, so let's remember now, Wednesday night, Brother Luis is going to be speaking for us, so let's keep him in your prayer. Also, we're going to go downstairs in just a few minutes and eat some cake and ice cream at Brother Dale's 63rd wedding anniversary. And that's wonderful. And also, we made mention last night, some of you weren't here, but we're talking about maybe taking all the youth to go play putt-putt in Oakwood one weekend, or we could do it one Sunday afternoon after the service is over. But they're going to give us a real good deal, and we can talk about it in between ourselves. Maybe Wednesday night we can discuss it, or next Sunday. When you'd like to do it, either on Saturday or Sunday. We could do it Sunday after second service. We could all go. I think they stay open till 7 or 8 o'clock at night. So we could go, if you want to go and fellowship just a little bit. If you'd like to go, then just let us know. That you get a senior discount too, wouldn't you? Yeah. So if Regina wants to go, we know everybody below her wants to go, and that's pretty much the whole church. So we... Yeah, Brother Claude's coming back too. But yeah, I thought it'd be something we could do as a church. We could go play putt-putt, and it'd be something the kids would like to do. But we'll talk about it a little bit later. But just keep it in the back of your mind. Would you rather do it on Saturday or Sunday? So you can let me know, or Sister June know, if you'd like to do it Saturday or Sunday. Either one's okay with me. So if all minds are clear, let's give Brother Claude another good hand. We need to pray for him as they travel back to Oklahoma. And the church out there, like I said, if he tells you he's going to pray for you, he'll pray for you. So we need to pray for his church and his folks. Get him a song leader. Get him a minister in the church. Somebody can come up under the ministry and help him out. Because could you imagine? I mean, Brother Dale did it for years by himself. Led singing, worked a 40-hour job, and preached the gospel. So we know how it takes a toll on the body, too. So we want to pray for Brother Claude and his church, that they'll get somebody like that in and be able to do that. So let's bow our heads. All minds are clear. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that you give us. Thank you for the word that we've heard, Father. Now I pray that we will digest that, Lord. And as you said with John, we to eat the book. And Lord, let it become part of us. That would be the... Brother Claude could take all the handshakes and all the thank yous. But the greatest thank you would be is for us to start living the word that's been preached. And it'll come back, Lord, and maybe the next time he sees us that we will all be more mature, that we'll be more adamant about the word of God, be in an intimate relationship with you, not just not just being friends, Lord, but being intimate with you, Father. Yes. We pray that you'd be with Brother Luis as he speaks for us on Wednesday night, Lord, that you'll give us, Lord, grace and favor. Be with us, Lord, during the week. We pray that you'd be with the ones that have been stricken with COVID, Lord, that you would be with them, Brother Jim Babb and the different ones that come to our mind. Lord, we pray that you would just soften that thing out for us, Lord, and let us continue on, Lord. Somebody's going to stand in this last time and going to stand on the earth and be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye.
Yes.
And Father, I contend that it's us. It's the ones that, Lord, do your word, hear your word, and know what's going on in the day and hour that we're living. Thank you for that, Lord. We give you honor and praise for all these great things. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. God bless you. Go downstairs and have some cake and ice cream.